Welcome to the message podcast of Catalyst Baptist Church, a vibrant church with two campuses located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
Well, it's so fun to be here because we're all family together, right? You even love Kiwis, so just keep that in mind. You know, we take little steps in our lives, you know, little growth steps all the time. But there comes a time to take a big step, and that's what we want to talk about today. Because the big step will help us step into something so new and so foundational for us. Because, you know, this world's crazy, right? How many of you kids know the world's a bit crazy? Okay, there's just things going on and we worry about things. Yeah, I'm glad that you know the world's crazy. See, because it is. And as parents, we must be a little bit concerned of going, what is this world that we're living in, bringing up our children into? There are things that we are preparing for. Well, today, we're preparing kids for a world that we don't even know about. And that's scary, but it doesn't have to be. And this is what we want to unpack today. But as we do, I just was thinking about the sports theme, and it's great that we can support different sports and teams, but what would your favorite sport be? All right, so kids, this is a time you can really yell, and parents are going to try and drown you out too because they are into sport as well. If you had a favorite sport to either play or watch, or just a sport you know, so you can join in, you can call out. I'm going to count you down to three, two, one, and then you've got to yell it out. Are you ready? And we'll see which sport is the most popular in the room. Here we go. Three, two, one. It's pretty close. Let's try it once more. I'm going to listen out careful. Three, two, one. Oh my goodness, there's so many different sports. I did hear AFL in there though, and a little bit of basketball, so that's great. But you know, with sports, whether you're a play sport or whether you don't, we all have one question that comes into mind when we see sport, whether either we're just watching in on the television or we've turned up at a netball court like I do with my granddaughter, but we ask this one question. What do you think the question might be? Let's have a look. What's the score? You're right. What's the score? Because the score actually matters, right? We want to know what the score is because we want to just sort of work out which team we're going to actually go for because we want to go for the winning team, right? But we ask, what's the score? But here's what we do is if the score's not going the way that we planned it, then we start to pick fault and go, the ref's biased. Have you ever heard that? We won't talk about cricket and Under Armour or anything like that. But, you know, we look and we go, the ref needed to watch that. And we have parents sometimes on the side of the field or the courts calling out, you know, watch that ref. Or sometimes we blame someone on the team. And we go, you should have got that. Because the score actually matters to us. Now, that's sort of that downside of things. You know, if you take me to 10-pin bowling, and I enjoy doing that, but what I find myself doing, and I try not to, and I say, I'm not doing it this time, I'm not, and then I do. I take the bowl, and I'm watching it, and I stop watching the ball and look up at the score, and go, what's the score? And then I compare myself to others in the team and going, I just want to be, if I'm not the top, I just want to be better than somebody else, right? I'm the only one like that? Not even. Well, maybe it's a little bit extreme. When someone's applying for a job to work in a team with me, I'll often take them 10-pin bowling just to see how competitive they are. You know, we are competitive because the score matters. But here's the tension and here's the problem that we have with focusing on the scoreboard. The problem is the scoreboard often defines how we see the game. So we say it's a good game if it's going to plan and the score is going the way we want it to go. But if it's not, then it's a bad game and somebody's at fault. And often it's not ourselves at fault, right? We have an opinion and we want to share it. The problem is when we define the game, the quality of the game by the scoreboard, we only see the result. We can't change that score. Even if we feel it's unfair, we can't change the score. The score is the score and the ref decides and that is that. But we have all this emotion that comes up underneath. Now, that may be for sport, but here's the thing that I know, is that we keep score in our life. And there are times that we are keeping the score and we decide whether life is good or bad depending upon the way it's going out. So kids, it's like for you that if you have lots of friends at school, it's a good time. Life's great. But if you're lonely, it's not good at all. And you don't want to go to school. Or maybe you want to put your hand up and answer a question, and you go, yes, I've got the answer, and it wasn't quite the right answer, and you feel really embarrassed by it, and the other kids laugh on you, whatnot, and go, that was bad. And so we define life, whether it's good or bad, depending upon the score that we are seeing. And you know, adults, you do that as well. You decide whether your parenting is going well, depending upon what's going on in the situation. You decide whether there's a health situation or a job situation, crisis come up, whether it's good or bad. But we're going to learn today that there is a different scoreboard, that we don't have to look at our own scoreboard, because this is where our own scoreboard leads us. It leads us to believe that we are a failure. It leads us to believe that we have failed in what we've set out to do. You know, a child didn't succeed or dropped out of uni or something, so I'm a failure as a parent. You're going, I'm not quite sure how all that linked up, but it does. And we take on that failure. And kids, you say, oh, I'm not going to do this because I'm going to fail at it. You know, I used to teach school. And I asked my five-year-olds, when they would come in, who's an artist? And everyone would put their hand up, we're artists. I tracked them all the way through to the end of their primary school, and I asked at graduation, so who's an artist? Knowing that I'd taught most of these kids, three or four kids put their hand up. I said, who told you you weren't? Who changed the score? They saw themselves as a failure because others had told them that they were a failure. And you know what? That we ask ourselves, are we enough? Are we enough? We don't mean to make mistakes, but then we fail. We set out to do something, and we're really anticipating it, and then, oh, it didn't work. You know, I love the beginning of a school year when you get a brand new book, and you can start writing your stories well, and go, this is all nice and tidy. By the time you get to this time in the term, it's back to the old ways. But, you know, we can go, we determine ourselves as a failure. And we think there's no way back. So instead of saying, I fail, we say, I am a failure. Do you ever remember a time when you're at school where they've got to choose two teams? Now, some of you adults will know this because they still do it at schools this way. They choose two captains, and they're always the sporty kids. So, hence, I never got chosen. And they would say, all right, let's go one on each side. You choose, until everyone's chosen to be on a team. I knew exactly how that was going to go. Everyone else would be. And I'd try and look down, try and look around, not wanting to get eye contact with anybody. And more often than not, I was one of the last ones to be chosen. Why? Because I wasn't sporty. Even though I knew in my head I was good at other things, I wasn't chosen. So I felt I was forgotten. I felt invisible. Sometimes we feel invisible, right? We're trying. Maybe you're trying to keep your room tidy and mum or dad don't notice. But the time you do leave something out, why is the laundry on the floor? You've never done that, right? You know, but we try, but we feel invisible. We feel forgotten. talking about forgetting something. We were married for 7 years before our first daughter came along. And I happened to be the church pianist. You can tell how desperate we were. I was there. And so I parked Rochelle in her pram by the piano. And this Sunday, she was only very, very new. And we lived right next door to the church, right? Okay, right next door. So we just locked up, went home, and we sat down to have lunch. And I'm going, something's different. I've forgotten something. Oh, heck, I forgot a daughter. Run back over. Grab it. She was sound asleep, right? She didn't even know that it happened. She's only heard the story, and now she says she's in therapy because of it. Not really. You know, but we feel forgotten. We feel that we are not seen. Our efforts aren't seen. And, you know, sometimes you can feel that way in the workplace, adults, that your efforts aren't seen. Sometimes you can feel that in your homes when kids will moan about dinner. None of you guys moan about dinner, do you? Yeah? So what are we having this tonight? You could feel that you're invisible, parents. So we say that we have been forgotten. And we ask, do I really matter? And yet another one. Another one is fear. Now, that's a score on our scorecard that can freeze us. It feels like we're not fitting in. I can remember putting my hand up and you know, giving an answer, or trying to. You see, years ago, I had this speech impediment, and I stuttered really badly. And so I would put my hand up and say, I want to give an answer, and then it wouldn't come out, and the kids would laugh, and then they would mimic me. And then the teacher would say, just spit it out. And I'm going, I'm trying, but it's not coming. So what I did was I protected myself, and I moved back into my fear. And I would sit there, I would know the answer, but I would never dare to say it. Because what if it was wrong? What if others laughed when I tried to say it? Or what if I wasn't understood? And sometimes we have fear of trying something new. We can do that at school. It's quite difficult and challenging sometimes when we have new maths things we have to work out, and we're doing our inquiry learning, and we're going, I'm just not sure. But, you know, even parents fear things. They'll step back because you're fearful. You don't want to be embarrassed. You fear what will happen in the future. You wonder, what will happen if I take a step? What will happen if I step out into that space? But, you know, it makes us nervous, and we're more tempted to sit on the sidelines. Do you know that some people fear God? Because they see him as someone who's like a ref pulling him up on the mistakes, going, you did something wrong, you did something wrong, you're a bad person, you're a this. And they don't understand that God is not like that at all. He's a God of love. He created this world out of love and gave a beautiful environment for us to live out of love. And Adam and Eve, they broke that relationship because they chose to do their own thing and not to listen to what God had said. But that didn't change God's love. God said, I'm still loving you. There's a consequence to this, mind you, but I'm loving you, and I'm going to find a way forward. I have a rescue plan, and that rescue plan that we learn about is about Jesus and the way Jesus came to give us a new scorecard, as it were. So when you trust in Jesus, he changes the scorecard. Because you see, it's not your scorecard anymore, because he steps in where you can't, and he is with you. So if we have a look what was written in Romans here, it says, but God has shown us a way to be made right with him. He had a plan by placing our trust in Jesus. But who's that for? Just special people? And this is true for everyone. How freeing is that? No one in this room is excluded. No one online is excluded. No one is ever excluded. For it's for everyone who believe, no matter who they are. Now, this is coming from a man who wrote this who was passionate about silencing Christians. And more than just silence them, he wanted them gone because he thought they are not following the rules, and the rules of the game were important. And so he wanted to get rid of the Christians so that the law could stand and that only the people following the law could win the game. Well, you see, that's not part of God's plan, because he had a whole new plan for us. And so Paul met Jesus, and the most amazing experience he had, and you might want to take some time to check that up in your Bible and read it for yourselves. But here's what happened, is that Jesus didn't cancel Paul and say, you are a horrible person, and give him a bad rap sheet. He said, he changed him. He said, Paul, well, his name was Saul then. He said, I'm going to give you a new name, give you a name called Paul, and you are going to tell people about me because of what's happened to you. It wasn't like something in the head knowledge. It was a heart experience. And here is where it's really important. Parents, I want you to know this. Young people need to have a faith that they can feel. A faith that belongs to them. They don't need just all the information. They need to experience it. And you're in the front row to help them experience that faith. You see, Paul wrote here in Romans again, he said, for everyone has sinned. No one measures up to God's glory. No one gets a perfect score. The free gift, free. We all like free things, right? This is a free gift of God's grace, makes us right with him because Jesus paid the price to set us free. Now, we're coming into Easter and we're going to learn more about what Jesus did on the cross. But Jesus gave his life so we could be free. He gave his life so we could change the scorecard. Because here's what we know. The rules show us the problem. Jesus gives us the win. We can follow the rules and do everything right on the outside, but it's only Jesus that gives us the win on the inside, because he is the only way, because of his sacrifice, that we can have him as our forever friend. And that means taking that big step to trust in Jesus. You see, if we go on to continue on to read in Romans, so who can brag? Who can skite about it? We skite in sport, right? Who can brag? No one can. We firmly believe that a person is made right with God because of their faith. They are saved. They are not saved by obeying the law. So that means when we take the big step, it's not about what we do. It's about what God has done for us. Now, here's the thing, is that we try and change the scorecard by doing things better, by trying harder, by working more, by making it look good on the outside, but we can't actually reach God's perfect score. We can't. We know that in the scriptures. So there's got to be another solution. And here's where Jesus invites us to do what he did in Paul's life to do in our life, is to turn it round. He's inviting you to take a big step. You may be looking at the scoreboard, but Jesus sees it differently. And here it is. When we see failure, Jesus says, I forgive you. You have not done anything that would stop me from loving you, ever. I love you. You are forgiven. So you see failure, Jesus sees forgiven. When you see forgotten, Jesus moves right close and he said, I'm your friend. And not a friend just when things are going right. I'm a friend forever. And who loves a friend? Who likes playing with their friends? Yeah. Who likes hanging out with friends? I think everybody in this room likes friends. We're in an age where loneliness epidemic is huge. This is why we need to be able to communicate more and more that Jesus is our friend forever. So when we feel forgotten, God sees. Jesus loves us and wants to be our friend. And then when we see fear and want to pull back, God gives us a future in Jesus. And he says, you have a future because I'm walking with you every day. So when hard things come, and they do get hard, Jesus is with us because he's our forever friend. And that's pretty exciting to know that. So it doesn't make it all easy all of a sudden, but what it does is it changes your scorecard. Because when you trust Jesus, the scorecard changes. Because he takes your scorecard and he puts his over the top and he says, you're on my team now. You're on my team now. So you don't need to be held back by fear. You don't need to be held back by feeling forgotten. You are with me and I am with you. And this is a partnership. So here's the big deal. We can know it in our head, but it's not until we step forward and say, Jesus, would you be my forever friend? Ask him. We know his answer is yes. We can know all about Jesus, but do we know Jesus? And that's when we can take the big step. We don't know everything about the future, but we know that Jesus is there with us. And when we have those moments when we feel like a failure, he reminds us, I created you. I love you. Failure is not a word in my dictionary because you are forgiven. You are free. You are with me. So we can go away and just think about this. But you know what? There's something about being at the game, and we're at the game today because game is on. And as we step forward into this game, Jesus invites us to take a big step. Now, you might never have taken that big step before, and that big step is to say, Jesus, I just trust you with my scorecard. I can't do it anymore. And it doesn't matter what age you are, you can take that big step. You may have already taken it a while ago and go, you know what? I've not been living in that sense. I've been living back with the old scorecard. So Jesus invites you to take that big step. Because it's what you're thinking about now. Jesus meets you right where you are. Now, here's this thing. I may be directing some of this towards children, but adults, the best way for kids to know Jesus is to know someone who knows Jesus. And I want to ask you, how well do you know Jesus? Is he your forever friend? Because you too can do this. You can do it through your phone. But it takes courage to take a step. And in a moment, the team are going to come and, I'm going to pray for you. But I want us to think through, what is it the step is God asking you to do today? Or what's he inviting you into? Because when we take the big step to follow him, I've never, ever regretted that. I've never, ever said that was the wrong thing. And I've found that the future I thought I had has been way different, way more exciting. And I know that God's with me on the tough things as well as the things that I really celebrate. So let me pray with you. Jesus, thank you for changing the scorecard. So often we put ourselves down and we see the negative, but you see who you created us to be and invite us to lean into that space. Help us to be people that tell your story, that share your score, that you are a winning God because you created us and you came up with this rescue plan. And Jesus, you never leave us or forsake us. So we pray together that you would help us be bold in the steps that we take, those little wee steps that we take on a regular basis. But for today, the big step, Jesus, would you give courage to the people that are deciding to make that big step, regardless of their age? Would you help us to trust in you and know that for everyone that trusts in you, there's a massive party in heaven because we celebrate the fact that you are our Lord, you are our King, and with you, the score changes every single time. We pray this in your name. Amen.